It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Former Navy SEAL Brandon Webb says fear is a lot like fire. When it's out of control, it's destructive. But if you learn how to use it, you can change your destiny. Webb's latest book, co-authored with John David Mann, is titled Mastering Fear, A Navy SEAL's Guide. And in it, Webb writes about his challenges as a Navy SEAL. He was a U.S. Navy SEAL chief and SEAL for more than a decade. He served multiple deployments in the Middle East and Afghanistan, and he was head instructor at the Navy SEAL Sniper School. With this background, he draws out lessons about fear of all kinds for us all, whether it's a fear of swimming, of drowning, of flying, or a fear of business decisions like giving that presentation or even launching a company, or more broadly, a fear of making big life decisions. He's a New York Times bestselling author and founder and CEO of the Hurricane Group, Brandon Webb. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Elaborate on this idea that fear is a lot like fire. When it's out of control, it's destructive, but you not only want, you stress that you don't want to eliminate fear, right?
I don't think fear is something you can eliminate. You know, I left home at age 16 and was cried myself to sleep the first week straight. So, yeah, and as a Navy SEAL, I had many fears: fear of heights. You know, am I good enough? I had a really challenging time learning how to shoot in the beginning because I had never picked up a firearm before joining the military, and then, you know, went on to become a sniper and run the SEAL sniper program. So, you know, I'm no stranger to fear. I think I was fortunate at an early age to have really adventurous parents. You know, when I mentioned I left home at 16, you know, we were on a family sailing trip around the world. We left California, went to Mexico, over to the South Pacific. And because I'd grown up working on boats as a young kid, my dad and I were just butting heads over, you know, seamanship. And it was like having two captains on the boat. And when we got to Tahiti, it just erupted. And he said, look, I think it's time that you leave home. And so...
So in your home is this boat. And at the age of 16, your father, your family leaves you on Tahiti. And that's your leaving home story.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, my mom was in tears. And I was a stubborn kid. I was like, I'm out of here. And I ended up sailing on a catamaran from Tahiti to Hilo, Hawaii, and then flying back to California. And I had arranged to live on the boat I grew up working on, which is a recreational scuba diving boat out of Ventura Harbor. We take sport divers out to the islands. And the owner, Bill, said, yeah, come on, live on the boat. I'm going to make you a captain. And, you know, for a while that was my path, but I ended up realizing that after learning about the Navy SEALs, that was something I saw as an opportunity to serve my country, but also challenge myself. And you know, over time, I joined the Navy, went to SEAL training in 1997 with Class 215. We had 220 of us start, and roughly 23 originals finished. And I learned through that grueling, you know, 7 month selection process that it was all mental. You know, it was just a mental game. You know, it's the SEAL selection program is designed to take somebody that's an average physical ability and put them through these situations where, you know, they have to dig deep within their mind and make it through.
So talk a little bit more, because this is really a remarkable part of your story here. 23 are left after 220 entered this program. And we have to, the 220 that entered this program are already hardened military people, right? And you have to go through what you call in the book drown proofing for this basic underwater demolition. BUD, I guess, is the acronym it goes by. Tell us some details about what was so fear-inspiring in that training that could weed out, you know, a couple hundred of already hardened military people.
So I remember checking into SEAL training. I was, my job for the first few years I was in the Navy was a search and rescue swimmer in helicopters. And it was a great job, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. So I applied first. I got turned down. I applied a second time. I finally got my orders to SEAL training. I just completed a deployment on the USS Kitty Hawk, this big aircraft carrier, and I really worked hard to stay in shape while I was on the boat. But it's really tough to run on a ship at sea, and aside from the treadmill. And so I ended up checking into SEAL training, and I realized very quickly how out of shape I was, because out of those 220 guys, we have this saying, like, you don't want to be that guy. Well, I was that guy. Like, I was singled out at every opportunity, and given extra, you know, physical activity, would get yelled at, pulled out, aside from the class, get yelled at. And they were just, you know, looking back on that as an instructor later on in my career, there was a few moments where I recognized, okay, they were really trying to push me out. They thought I didn't deserve to be there. And I remembered right before, we have a evolution called Hell Week, which is at the end, the training is divided into the three phases, you know, the basic training, the dive phase, and the tactical phase at the end. And the end of first phase is Hell Week, where they keep you up for 5.5 days straight doing, you know, this isn't just, you know, sitting in a classroom for 5.5 days. It's doing a 2-mile ocean swim at night, you know, paddling in boats for, you know, 20, 30 miles, you know, running, you know, 10, 12 miles with logs on the beach. Like, it's grueling, you know, risky activity. And before that Hell Week started, I had four of the meanest instructors pull me aside. I still remember their names: Sholin, Gekka, Buchanan, and Gillespie. These guys pulled me out of the class and had me on the beach and just started in with the talk, right? And I talk about this in Mastering Fear, like how important it is to sometimes ignore the negative talk and imprinting that people can do, whether it's, you know, family, friends, and they're doing it. Sometimes they don't even realize it, and they're projecting their negativity on you and their own fears. And so these guys sat there and just started throwing stuff at me, you know, to try and plant these seeds of fear in my head. Like, I didn't belong. I wasn't good enough. I'm letting down the class. And I just refused to, you know, I had to dig deep within my head and say, you know what, I do belong here. I worked hard to get here. And at that point, they knew they couldn't break me. They put me back in the class, and I never got messed with again. But it was an important lesson for me that at that point I realized, okay, this is a mental game.
Right.
And I just won, and I never had a problem again. And went on to graduate, you know, 6 months later. And I talk, you know, I talk about that in my book. I also talk about the time where I came back from Afghanistan after 9/11. I got recruited to be a sniper instructor. Then one of the master chiefs that was taking and modernizing the SEAL sniper program said, "Hey, I need you to come down and help out with the pilot program." I ended up doing that, and we had an opportunity to go and a budget to go and get these some of the world's greatest coaches in the Olympic arena, professional sports. And I was fortunate enough to work with Lanny Basham, who's a friend of mine now, a gold medalist and one of the pioneers of mental management. And we ended up implementing this system into our sniper program, and a lot of it was mental rehearsal, like visualization, recognizing when negative self-talk comes into your head. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Sometimes it's, you know, we're sitting around a group of people and picking up on all the bad habits and negative talk. And we have to recognize that, and when it happens, and replace it with positive talk or a positive mantra. And it sounds kind of, you know, it's strange to think about a bunch of Navy SEAL snipers doing this, but and it was challenging getting these guys to adopt it. But I remember the first time we implemented this program, we took a 30% failure rate to 1% overnight, and it just stayed there. It's because we taught these guys how to really run a strong mental program, and a lot of it's fear-based, and so.
And, you know, Yeah, and we should mention here, Brandon, I think you mentioned in your book, correct me if I'm wrong, you were a sniper trainer for a couple of those who got in the news a few years ago, and there was a movie made of it with Tom Hanks, snipers taking out pirates on a cargo ship, right?
Yeah, yep. I think that was the Captain Phillips movie. Chris Kyle was a student of the SEAL sniper program of the movie American Sniper. Marcus Luttrell was a personal student I mentored. He wrote the book Lone Survivor, which was a movie. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and Marcus talks about in his book as well the kind of mental rehearsal that we do in the sniper program. And then getting out, you know, for me, I lost my first business. I lost my life savings. My wife divorced me. And I had, you know, and then that voice in the back of your head starts creeping in, telling you, you're not good enough. You just lost everything. And then I had to stop myself and go, wait a minute. Let me focus on the positive aspects of this failure. You know, I'm getting a divorce, but my wife and I were in counseling, and we decided really to work on our relationship for the kids' sake and turn that into a positive. Today we have an amazing relationship. You know, I started thinking about, even though I lost my life savings, I developed these skills over 3 years in this startup. I know how to raise money. I know how to go borrow money through the SBA program, which mm-hmm. is a great program for people that want to start or buy a business. I learned how to read financial statements. Like, I gave myself this real-world MBA, and I said, I'm going to be fine. Like, I can go buy a business tomorrow that's cash flowing. And so I just started focusing on the positive, and it really reshaped my thinking and my mood, and enabled me to kind of get past that big failure and trauma in my life. So, you know, I incorporate that in the book. I talk about my friends and people I've connected with since I've been outside the military. Astronaut Scott Kelly, we had a conversation. You know, this is, you know, a guy that has, I think, the most days in space as an American. He candidly admitted to me that he had this fear of applying for NASA because he didn't think he was good enough. And then he realized, you know what, if I don't apply, I'll never get accepted.
Right.
So, you know, I think I showcase a lot of my own experiences dealing with fear, but also some close friends of mine and people I've met since I've been outside, and show, like, look, you know, even my friend CJ Ramone, who was a bass player for the Ramones, he was in the Marine Corps, and getting out, he had like a month of, until he was out of the Marines, realized that there was this opening for the Ramones to replace Dee Dee with a bass player, and he said, you know what, I'm gonna try out for this. Practice for 3 weeks straight, goes and tries out, and ends up making it. And if he said, I was terrified the first show I played, because people had signs like, who the hell are you? You know, they were screaming at him, and he just said, I had to just ignore it and just go out there and give a great performance, which
right.
is what he did.
Right. Let me remind our listeners, Brandon Webb is my guest, New York Times bestselling author. His latest book, Mastering Fear, A Navy SEAL's Guide. He was a U.S. Navy SEAL chief, SEAL for more than a decade. In fact, he was head instructor at the Navy SEAL Sniper School, a book all about mastering fears, not eliminating fears, but using them to progress in life. We've got a few minutes left. I want to have you address this question, because some people may have this after hearing about your amazing background, your fearlessness, as in many people would say. In your chapter on decision, and you give a roadmap to mastering fears. It goes from decision, rehearsal, letting go, jumping off, knowing what matters. Now, we can't go through all that roadmap, but I want to focus on the decision chapter, one aspect of that. You ask, so how do you know when you're being bold or when you're being stupid? What's the answer to that question?
You know, it's a great question. I think it's one of the things I talk about in the book, is surrounding yourself with positive people that are going to amplify and lift you up as opposed to hold you back. And, you know, and sometimes you just have to make a decision, and maybe it maybe it doesn't work out. But and that's part of the learning process. The important thing is to actually make the decision to actually put something into action and make a habit of that. And once you make a habit of it, you're not we're never going to eliminate fear, but we can harness it. Like I talk about the difference between fear being out of control, like a wildfire, or being in control, and using it as a tool. And it's just incredibly important to make that distinction. And one of the things I learned writing the book, because I had to create this system. I said, okay, what is it that I do and these other people do that deal with fear and confront it? And part of it is recognizing what you're trying to achieve and making the conscious decision to kind of let go of what's holding you back and move forward and create the system. You know, I was in France with my daughter and her best friend on a vacation this summer, and I got a call from my operations manager. He said Facebook just shut us down. We at Hurricane Group, we have a e-commerce business, and we sell this James Bond box called the Crate Club. It's like a James Bond box for guys, and Facebook had shut all of our ads down, and we spend six figures a month on Facebook, and we make.
Why did they shut you down?
They shut us down because they thought we were selling guns, because our landing page, you know, had special ops pictures.
Right. And you're just to explain the Hurricane Group, you're into military sort of related entertainment.
Yeah, military entertainment. We have a foreign policy news channel, and then we have this e-commerce business. And you know, we make good revenue off the e-commerce. We spend six figures on Facebook every month, and we make seven figures back. And when they shut us down I think it was 4 days, you know, we lost, you know, hundreds of thousands in revenue, and all these fears started creeping into my head. And I said, wait a minute, I need to use my own system here to figure this out. And just to have a talk with my own team, because it was spreading, right? Everyone's like, oh, my God, how are we going to pay this vendor? How are we going to meet payroll? And so I had to sit everyone down and just have a talk with them and say, look, it's going to be okay, and we're going to use this experience to get stronger, you know, and look at other ways to leverage the internet with Google, Pinterest, some of these other formats that we can use, retargeting our email list. And so, you know, I used it on myself this summer. And so it works.
You and I, Brandon, share a great admiration. I see you've written about him in your book, for the Irish explorer Ernest Shackleton, amazing man. Well, tell us, encapsulate what we can learn from Ernest Shackleton, the polar explorer.
Yeah, for me, Shackleton, you know, it's the book is endurance, right? And
right.
You want to talk about this, and I actually incorporate his advertisement that he put in that, I think it was a London paper, about this hazardous journey, survival, you know, unlikely. And the people that answer that ad, he knows they kind of have what it takes to survive under any conditions. But I think it was his ability to constantly be a positive leader in an incredibly challenging situation where the boat gets trapped in ice.
For about a year in the North Pole, a polar ice pack.
Yeah, and he had to control that narrative as a leader and say, look, we are going to get out of here. And that's one, you know, a big thing I talk about in Mastering Fear is self-talk. And part of being a leader, a good one, is controlling that narrative within your organization and hammering home that positive self-talk. It motivates people. And you saw, I mean, everybody in his party, I think, survived that that incredible journey, and having to abandon ship in a polar ice pack. I mean, it's an incredible story.
Yeah. Leave us with your thoughts, and you write about this in the book, what has to be on the top of the list, if not near the top of the list for most people, fear of death. You write about it, and I wonder, do you fear death?
You know what? There was a time I remember I didn't, but as a father and and parent? Absolutely. Like, I write about it in the book. One of my biggest fears is, and I think my experience with death has been reshaped because I've also lost a lot of close friends. I lost my friend Glenn Doherty and then that Benghazi debacle. And as a parent now, I just value life, and I value time above all things. And my biggest fear is dying before my kids, before I kind of impart my own knowledge as a parent onto my children and give them the tools to be successful in life. I mean, that's a big fear of mine for sure as a parent. But I also, I don't let it hold me back. Like, my children know that when they come with me for our summer adventure, like, we're going to do stuff. Like, I taught my daughter how to do a barrel roll on my airplane that I fly. Like, she's 12 years old, and I worked her up to it. But to see the confidence in her having done that, it's just an amazing thing as a parent. And then see them take risks on their own. My daughter emceed her eighth grade end of year school event. My son Hunter went after as a sophomore in high school to be the captain of his debate team. So, those are things that they're doing, things at their age that would terrify me. MCing an event in eighth grade in front of parents and students, forget about it. I would have been terrified.
Well, Brandon Webb, we've run out of time. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to talk about your new book, Mastering Fear, A Navy SEAL's Guide. We appreciate the time, Brandon, and we'll check out the book. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
And that does it for today's program. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Caitlin Harrop. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.